Thinking a wedding planner isn't in your budget? Think again. Did you know that beyond this podcast, I offer virtual wedding planning coaching? This is something perfect for your needs and your budget. It's not a stale digital course. It's dynamic, it's live, and it's all about empowering you. Together, we'll keep your wedding planning vibe light, fun, and totally dialed in. I'll be your go-to wedding planner right in your pocket, real-time access, just a phone tap or Zoom away. You'll get all my tools. I will personalize them for you, and you're not going to have the hefty price tag of a traditional wedding planner. So save your cash, ditch the stress, and make your wedding planning a journey to remember. For more info, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram. You can go to the bigweddingplanningpodcast.com or just shoot me an email. I'm here for you. Let's make your wedding epic. Lovey, lovey show.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just a wedding planner, tearing it up. Listen. Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez. Welcome to another badass episode, everybody, of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you're listening. I believe, and it's hard for me to say this with total certainty because of how many episodes we've recorded of the podcast, but I don't think we've ever done an episode all about jewelry, about engagement rings, about wedding bands, about other jewelry that you can wear on your wedding day. And so here we go. Let's do this. Michael Verstandig is my guest today, and he is the co-founder of Verstillo Fine Jewelry, a high-end diamond jewelry company that specializes in custom-made jewelry and jewelry rentals for weddings. So Michael's family has been in the diamond industry for generations, and he's been in it for 15 years himself. And we talk a lot about rings and the beginning of this episode. I mean, Michael is taking us through trends. He's taking us through bands and sizes. I learned the word basket. Okay, so stay tuned for what that means. If you're not in the jewelry business, you may not know that term, but now I know this term and you will soon. What a basket is when it comes to a ring. All right, I don't know if it's that exciting or interesting, but I thought it was interesting. Nevertheless, you're going to learn a lot in this episode. So whether you have your engagement ring already and you're thinking about a wedding band, or this is what I think is brilliant, okay? The last part of this episode, we are talking about the rentals that Verstillo does. And they are renting people. They are renting like beautiful, like just beyond beautiful jewelry. And I'm talking about massive, huge diamonds, many carats of earrings you can wear on your wedding day, of bracelets, of necklaces. I mean, it's pretty brilliant. It's like famous movie stars get jewelry sent to them so that they can wear them on the runway or to the Oscars, right? And so that's what it reminds me of. And I was thinking today when I was listening back to the episode that a lot of you asked me, you know, what a good gift would be for maybe your parent, like your mother, you know, like, what could I get my mom? Do you want to rent your mom some friggin', you know, gorgeous, stunning earrings or bracelet with a ton of diamonds on it to wear at your wedding? That's a good idea, right? So listen in, learn a lot. I'm still waiting for an event to where I can wear some of this gorgeous jewelry. And I want to say thank you. Thank you to Michael for being our guest today and for teaching us so much about this industry, about, you know, lab-grown diamonds, about what is trending right now, about stacking, ways to save money, and for having this rental option, which is going to allow a lot of people the opportunity to wear some amazing jewels on their wedding day that they otherwise couldn't afford, but you can afford to rent them. All right, let's jump right in to my interview with Michael Verstandig of Verstolo Fine Jewelry. Love you, love your show.
Hi, everyone. My name is Michael Verstandig. I'm the co-founder of Verstolo Fine Jewelry. We are a high-end diamond jewelry company based in New York City. We specialize in custom diamond engagement rings and wedding bands and have a special focus on jewelry that brides can rent for their weddings. We're a fun up-and-coming jewelry company, like I said, based out of New York, and I'm excited to be here on the Big Wedding Podcast.
This is exciting. I'm excited to have you because we haven't really done an episode about rings, and I'm never involved in that process. Every once in a while, I help with a dress, but that really doesn't happen a lot either. The only experience I have is my own ring, which is very different. And I'm almost like, it's very old, but I still like it. It's classic. It's a princess cut, you see?
Oh, beautiful.
But I'm really excited to dive into this. And it's really cool that there's this option of renting as well. This is a very cool thing. It reminds me of what, you know, superstars do, you know, there's jewelers always sending jewelry, right, to like very famous people to wear on the red carpet or whatever it is.
Well, that's been our biggest kind of crossover. As you mentioned, usually wedding planners have nothing to do with jewelry and the rings and engagement rings and wedding bands are one aspect of the wedding process. And the planning and all that is another. And the jewelry aspect of the rental aspect has really kind of allowed us to cross over into the wedding industry, which has been really, really fun for us. We've met some amazing people in a really fun industry, which, you know, years ago I had nothing to do with. So it's just ironic that you need the ring to get married, but then after that, you really generally have nothing to do with the process afterwards. So this has been it's been a fun way for us to meet a bunch of new people and brides specifically.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, Michael, when you and I did our onboarding call, I think you said you're what generation of your family to be in this business now?
I'm technically fourth generation, which is a lot. My great-grandfather worked in the same company or my family company as I did.
So did your great-grandfather start this company then?
Yes, he did. So like I said, it's my family company. That company still exists and works mostly on the wholesale and manufacturing side of the industry. Has nothing to do with the final consumer. And Verstolo is our direct-to-consumer company, which has been a completely different model for us and something, like I said, that has really kind of brought us a bunch of new clientele and people that I wouldn't have had knowledge or an intro to meeting without Verstolo. So it's really been good for us.
What happens, like, obviously, I'm in a store, I see diamonds and they're so pretty and shiny. And like, where do those come from? Like, is there... I mean, they're not found that way on the earth or where do they come from?
No, they're not. So most people, if somebody would find a rough diamond on the ground, they would probably kick it and think, oh, that's a fun rock. It's that unassuming looking. Yeah. Usually they're coated and you can't even tell it's a diamond. You need to cut away from the coating and really cut the diamond in order to get like the polished, beautiful diamond that's sold in the consumer markets today.
Do they look like
an actual rock that you then have to cut and polish. You wouldn't even know it's a diamond.
Huh. Who knew? Maybe I've seen a diamond and not known it.
Yeah, you probably not. It weighs millions of dollars. You have no idea.
I want it in my backyard right now.
I would say go hunt after Zoom and see what happens.
Okay. So you got into this business just by family being in it and you fell into it too. And, you are now, you know, working on selling wedding bands and engage all sorts of jewelry, I'm assuming, right?
We manufacture and make all kinds of jewelry, from earrings, necklaces, bracelets, to specializing in custom engagement rings. So at this point, we're a full-fledged diamond jewelry company. And every piece that we make is for a client. Everything is a one of one.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So it's not like when I see it in the catalog at the department store that you could buy this band for $199, but there's like 5,000 other ones out there exactly like it.
Well, and that industry exists too. And and jewelry that's pre-made that you can go and buy, that's just not what we do. We're a little bit more high end. We customize each ring per client's request.
Okay. So what are people buying? I mean, like let's say engagement rings, mm-hmm. right? I mean, back when I got married 20 years ago, like this was super like on trend. It was just one single diamond on a platinum band. It's a princess cut, very simple, which I like because I'm super like, you know, that's how my style is. But like, what are you seeing now? Like, what are people doing right now in 2022?
You know, I think like anything else in sort of the fashion world, the classics never die. You can be a little avant-garde here and there, but especially when it comes to engagement rings, solitaires and the three stone rings of the world will always be really, really popular and really high in demand, and especially even more so now. And even in the customizing aspect of it, right, there are solitaires and there are three stone rings, and then there are some that are forged a little bit more specifically to the actual diamonds, right? The idea of a solitaire engagement ring is not a novel concept. It's not a new design, but there are different ways that you can make it to really showcase the diamond a little bit better. And like I said, because we customize each ring that we make, every ring is based on the diamond that's selected and nothing is pre-made. And think of a wedding dress or a suit off the rack. Typically, it's not going to fit you right off the rack. The same thing works when it comes to diamonds. Each diamond has its own body, its own specifications. And so the basket that it sits in really should be made for that exact stone. And that's going to maximize how big it looks because the actual basket is made for it. Just like anything else in life when it comes to really tailoring it to yourself.
Oh, it's called a basket. That's what it sits on.
It's called a basket.
I didn't know that. I feel like that was like an insider word that like now I'm in the jewelry business. The basket. The basket that your diamond is sitting in right now is okay.
The basket and the shank. Here, the more fun words.
And the what?
The shank is the actual ring part of the ring. So the metal or the bands. So you have the shank and then you have the basket. And the shanks right now, I see. So your ring, it's a little, if I can say, it's a little bit on the heavier side, right?
Yes.
Is it not? Am I seeing things correctly?
Yeah. It's thick.
That's a little bit heavier. And so I think today's trend is to go really, really slim on the band, almost as slim as you can without damaging the security of the ring. And again, that contrast of the really slim band with the larger diamond, or doesn't matter the size, it again, it will help maximize the size of the stone.
Interesting.
The contrast of a thin band with the bigger stone, you really get to see that difference.
So thin band, meaning like when I'm looking at my hand straight on, the thickness of, what do you call that? The width of
it? It's not top to bottom. It's the width. It's left to right. It's like how much width on your finger is it taking?
I see. So how much does it stick up off of my finger?
No, not up, not off your finger, just kind of left to right. The actual width of the
band. I see. I got it.
How skinny or thick it is.
Right. So they're going thinner bands now.
Thinner. I would say 1.5 millimeter, 1.7 millimeter, which is pretty thin. I think if you speak to a lot of jewelers, they get a little bit nervous at that size and they're like, the ring is not going to be safe. But I like to think our jewelers really know what they're doing and we're able to make a ring of that size and it still be safe for daily wear.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. I have seen that and I'm seeing them. Are they layering then a lot of bands on top of that then, right? Like,
yes. Stacking has been really, really popular. I don't see that going away right now. That sort of idea of stacking three or four skinnier bands instead of having chunkier, heavier jewelry or a chunkier band and just having two of them. But what I think is fun with jewelry and especially when it comes to the wedding bands is you really get to add your personal taste on it. There's no, even if the trends exist, everyone has a say in what they get to pick and choose. And it's really, really personal. It's who am I to say, you know, white gold or platinum looks, you know, is right for you or yellow gold is right for you. Everyone gets to have a little spin on their exact ring. And because, like I said, because we were able to customize it from start to finish, if you want a yellow band with a platinum basket and do two-tone, no problem. You want all yellow, no problem. So every little aspect from the width of the band to what color the basket is, to what type of prongs you want, to obviously the design in general can be catered to your needs.
Oh my gosh. So they're doing, so I was going to ask you that. See, cause like when I got married, I was all about silver. Everything I wore was silver, 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 which is cool. This is like early 2000s. But now when I buy jewelry, I want everything gold. My hoop earrings are gold. My necklaces are gold. My bracelets are gold, but my band is it's not silver. It's platinum, by the way,
right,
but it's that color.
Right. Silver is too soft for jewelry use. So, right. But it's silver color, that sort of white grayish metal.
Or white gold.
And that was, and you're right. I think at least when I came in as well, yellow gold was thought to be our grandmother's jewelry. Everything they had was yellow. And so there was this big gap of years where everyone was like, I am not touching yellow gold. It's old. It's outdated.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted white. And again, usually white diamonds go nicely with white metal, right? Mm-hmm. It just like helps showcase the brightness of the stone. Mm-hmm. But now just like kind of everything else in fashion, everything kind of comes back. And yellow is now hot again, whether it's for fashion jewelry.
I was going to ask you. So everybody's doing yellow gold now.
But again, I think the fact that the rings are thinner now, you know, the yellow ends up being just a hint of and pop of color and not this like chunky grandma jewelry that almost we thought it was going to be. And that's actually not what people want. So it's a modern taste or modern take on a color that existed a long time ago, not existed a long time ago, but that was more popular a long time ago. And now it's definitely back. A lot of yellow, definitely some rose gold is popping in here and there.
Oh,
but I would
yeah.
say of the colors between yellow and rose right now, yellow is definitely winning that color.
Yeah. Rose gold, I almost think would be just too trendy. Like just.
I think, yeah, it had its moment and it's still there. But when it comes to engagement rings right now, I think most people try to stick to a little bit more of the classic family. You know, at the end of the day, and I think something that people should think about is this is a ring that's going to be on your hand every day. So it needs to go with everything that you're wearing and your lifestyle. And so if you go too trendy, it may not go with an outfit that you're wearing. It may not go with an event that you're going to. You really want to pick something that can be worn on a Monday and a Tuesday and at a fun event. So that's why I think the white gold and the yellow and the classics, that's really where people lean towards.
Well, and I think about too is, so my grandmother had this, oh my God, beautiful, amazing ring. It wasn't her wedding ring. It was her mother's ring. And it was a ton of diamonds. I guess they call those clusters, right? But it's this beautiful, like almost like kidney bean shape of diamonds. And it's very like old Hollywood feeling to me. The diamonds are super beautiful and shiny. It was a platinum band. You don't even see the band. You just see all the diamonds. And so my grandmother had it and she gave it to my mother. You know, when she passed away, it went to my mother. And every time I see my mom wear it, I'm like, God, that ring is insane. Like it's gorgeous. Like it's timeless. And I always think that when I looked at my ring, like, is it going to be timeless? Like, is my daughter going to want this ring, you know, or my granddaughter, if I ever have one someday?
I think that's what's super special about diamond jewelry in general, is there's typically such a beautiful sentiment behind almost every piece. It was owned by somebody else and it still has value and it still has worth, let alone the invaluable sentimental value that is just there. So your daughter's going to love your ring because it was yours.
And right, true.
You may not like the actual ring, but the diamond itself carries so much weight to it, so much meaning behind it, that, you know, we see that all the time where people come in with heirlooms and this was my grandmother's and this was, you know, my grandmother smuggled this in from another country. And there's so many wonderful stories behind jewelry. And what's beautiful about diamonds in general is you can always repurpose it. So like I said, your daughter may not like your ring, but she'll love the diamond. And it can always be repurposed into a different type of jewelry that, I don't know how old your daughter is, but let's say in
she's
20
12.
Years, or just 12. I mean, so in 15 years, when she's ready to get married, she can take it and repurpose it into anything she wants. And it's your choice whether to give it to her now or, you know, pass it on, you know, later on. So I think that's what's super special about jewelry. There's something about jewelry and diamonds in general that just makes you feel good. There's
You're
something
right.
behind it. That's really special.
You're right. And a ring, an engagement ring, a wedding band, much like the photos of the wedding, right? They are a constant reminder and they live on for far longer than the humans that got married.
Oh, big time. And that's we're like our rental collection is really, really fun. You get to wear a real piece of diamond jewelry for your wedding day for a fraction of the cost of the rental of the retail price. Mm-hmm. And that feeling of putting on a real pair of diamond jewelry rather than other
like the real earrings. Yeah.
Real gorgeous Oscar style, you know, nice jewelry that, you know, you don't necessarily want to spend $20,000 or $30,000 right now, which makes sense to me. The wedding's expensive. The ring's expensive. The dress is expensive. Everything's expensive. And then when it comes to jewelry, you know, the budget kind of ran out for the look that you want when it comes to your earrings. So, you know, the rental collection gives people an access to jewelry that they can wear for their wedding that they see, like you said, in all their photos. Mm. It makes you feel different. It's such a special day of your life. There's something about diamonds that just give you that extra sense of happiness. I think it's really special in that sense.
Yeah, for sure. So talk to me, this is something that I had no idea about. And I always like to, whatever subject we're talking about on the podcast, talk about kind of like budget, the, you know, ways that you could save money. That's just like huge overall with weddings. Everybody wants to know, where can I save money, you know, based on what's important to me. And I don't know if these two things go hand in hand, Michael, but I'd love to know, when someone comes in to talk to you guys and they say, this is my budget, but this is what I like, you know, like, where do you suggest that they do things that they could save money and still get something gorgeous?
You know, I think like anything else, it's typically on a case-by-case basis. Depends on how much of a budget I have to work with. If someone comes in and says, I have $500, obviously not much room to work with. If some, you know, the higher you go in budget, just the more flexibility we have. Now, if someone comes in with a, you know, middle of the range, you know, say $2,000 to $4,000 for their wedding band, it's our job to guide you and really understand your vision, understand what you like, and get you to as close to the look that you want for the budget that you have to spend. Now, whether that's going bigger on the diamonds on the wedding band, but only going halfway around where, you know, on the top of your finger is the vision and visual aspect that you want it to be, but you don't have diamonds underneath. That's something that you can do and only go halfway. Or, once we have an idea on what a couple's budget is, it's just laying out all the different options that can work. And just getting a sense and feedback and body language, understanding what's more important to them. Is it size? Is it quality? Is it something else? Is it something that's going to fit next to the ring? Is it something they want to wear on their other finger? It's just understanding all the variables, that there are more variables than people think about. But that's where a conversation or a consultation with us can really help guide you to get the ring of your dreams and get cliche, but really get the ring that is going to make you the happiest. I mean, that's, you know, same thing with the engagement. You look down at your hand every day. You want to love it. Don't cut corners if you don't have to. Yeah. You know, you really want to love your ring.
Yeah, absolutely. So my friends who also have a podcast, it's called Hue I Do, they were posting about an episode they did, and they talked about how cluster rings give you kind of that look of having a lot, but it's actually less expensive because it's a lot of small diamonds. Like, what is that? Mm-hmm. What is
it's called, that? It's called an illusion set. So what you have is you have a bunch of smaller diamonds that are kind of combined together to kind of form the shape of one larger stone. Now, does it look exactly the same as a larger stone? No. It'll still give you that look that you're going for. And when it comes to carat weight with diamonds, a bunch of smaller diamonds doesn't come close to equaling what one larger would, right? It can maybe be the same carat weight. If I put, you know, 10 diamonds together that equal 2 carats, it's not going to be worth as much as a single 2 carats. So that definitely is a way to save. Yeah. But again, it depends on what type of ring you're making, where an illusion type setting would work. More so... Okay. Yeah, I would say like for diamond earrings, illusions are great. It can really give you like a nice cluster on your ear where you don't need just like this monster single stud. Like that's a great place to put it. Typically for the engagement ring, most people go with a single solid stone.
Single solid. You know, what's interesting is, so when we got married many years ago, we didn't have a big budget. Actually, my ring, my husband's, we spent $3,000 on it, which was for us, like I'd never bought anything that expensive in my life. But for the band, I was like, shit, you know, I don't have a lot of money. So my band is supposedly an eternity band, right? The diamonds go all around. But I think they're what you're talking about, because they're these little teeny diamonds, but I feel like what you're saying, the setting also is cut in a way where it makes it sparkly. You could probably not even see this, but it's like, it looks sparkly, but I think it's just because the setting also has, like, it's cut in a certain way, the wedding band. But I remember
what's amazing. Yeah. No, what's amazing is this, is the setting itself is kind of what helps the diamonds pop. It really, really does. The jewelry before you even set the diamonds needs to be cleaned so nicely that the metal underneath the diamonds is super high polished, really kind of get in there, because if it's gray or not really polished underneath the stones, it's going to reflect into the diamonds. So that's kind of what I was saying, to really kind of customize it and be able to know the full line of how exactly you're going to make the ring. Really adds to the sparkle. We tell people all the time, if you put an ugly diamond in a beautiful setting, it's going to read beautiful. If you put a super high-end diamond into an ugly setting, it's going to read ugly no matter how expensive that diamond is, which is an amazing thing, right? I mean, 95% of the budget is on the actual diamonds, but it's the setting that gives it its pop and its life. Like, that's really what creates the pop of sparkle. Yeah, that's what separates the high-end from low-end, I would say.
So I guess if you're going to do what we said earlier, that thin band, which is super simple, you better have a nice friggin' diamond to go in that thing.
A nice diamond, then your favorite word, and the basket itself is made for that stone, right? I mean, even in a classic, call it 2-carat stone, right? It's supposed to measure about 8 millimeters, give or take, but every 2-carat stone is a little bit different. And when you make the basket for that diamond, it just really helps shape the stone, where it really kind of tapers underneath the diamond. Where when you look from the top, all you see is the diamond. You don't see that kind of heavy, chunky basket, which ends up kind of choking the diamond a little bit, right? And I'm sure you've seen settings like that, where it's like the metal is chunkier than the stone.
Yeah, it looks like claws holding on to it.
It's like claws or like these big, like giant ball prongs where it's like covering half the stone. I'm sure you've seen it. And so, you know, by really sleeking out and really kind of tapering off the baskets, makes a huge difference in maximizing, right? Everyone wants to maximize value. Well, that's how you maximize the size of the diamond, is really creating setting in the house for that stone.
Oh, so good. Okay. I heard you say classic 2-carat. Is that kind of like what people are usually getting, 2 carats?
You know, I think it depends on demographics and where you are just in your life and your, you know, how successful or not successful. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really, again, on a case-by-case basis. I think what's interesting today is all budgets work right now. I mean, we haven't gone into it, but you have lab-grown diamonds that are options. You have natural diamonds that are options. So the access to different types of price points and the look, or the, again, we keep on going back to value, but the look that you can get for certain price points is much more readily available, or it's much more accessible to get a nice diamond for really any budget at this point.
Okay. Let's spend a minute on lab grown diamonds, because that's the next thing I want to talk about. When you and I had our onboarding call, I had no idea such a thing even existed. Talk to me. What is this, lab grown diamonds? And they're less expensive then.
Well, less is is an understatement. They're significantly less expensive, but there's a rarity aspect that's not there to it, right? I mean, you're growing a diamond in a lab versus the ground. It's not going to have that rarity aspect to it. There's no question. And so that idea of value, right? Natural diamonds typically hold their value much more so than a lab-grown diamond would. I can constantly make new lab-grown diamonds. Now, the interesting thing about lab-growns is I think we've been taught to think lab-growns are fake, right? There's this element that, oh, if it's lab-grown, then it's not a real diamond. And that's not necessarily the case. It's not the case. Lab-grown diamonds have the exact same chemical makeup as natural diamonds. They are carbon. They sparkle the same. They have the same kind of color. They have the same kind of imperfections. It's actually impossible for even me as a gemologist to tell you the difference between a natural or a lab-grown. I need a special machine to tell me the difference. So in that sense, they're exactly the same, but they are significantly less expensive. I, on a personal level, had no idea how it would succeed in the market, if people would be into it or not into it. And I think most people would tell you right now that it's probably exceeded expectations. Year on year, more lab-grown diamonds are being purchased.
So somebody going into any jewelry store, this isn't very... you know, question that they can ask, is this a natural or a lab grown diamond?
They should ask, and not an issue, but any lab grown diamonds being sold, it must be disclosed that it's a lab grown diamond.
It does have to be disclosed.
You can't tell the difference. So how would you know what you're buying if impossible to tell the difference? So
are we running out of natural diamonds? Is there any?
There's definitely a fight. Yeah, I mean, certain minds are closing. There is, you know, an element of knowing that there is a finite amount of diamonds in the world. We're constantly trying to look for new mines to be able to find a new feeding system of natural diamonds. But lab growns, just year on year right now, are, you know, are and have been dropping in price because, you know, production has gone up, right? The more you can produce, the more they're available. But I think they're a really interesting alternative to a couple that, let's say, does not have a huge budget, but, you know, the woman really wants a gorgeous diamond. Well, you know, lab grown might be a great option for you. And then, but there's a big mental aspect to it also.
See, I think I'd be like, I don't care as long as it's pretty and big and I can afford it. Shit, I'll get a lab grown diamond.
Well, I think you're kind of agreeing with the sentiment of a lot of people right now. If it looks good, sparkling, why not? And I think that is there, but I think there is a big number of people that are just like, it's not rare. When I think of diamonds, I want that. Mm. I want to know it came out of the ground. I want to know it's completely natural.
How long have lab grown diamonds been around? Do you know?
So the concept of them is not all that new. Diamonds in general are a really interesting element because they're used in a lot of tools and for industrial use. Yes. Right? Diamonds are the hardest substance in the world. And so they're used for a lot of machinery and things like that. And a lot of lab-grown diamonds have been used for that, but it hasn't overlapped into the consumer market. So that's where that element of it is new-ish. I would say over the last 5 years, it's really become more and more popular. 5 years ago, not as much, but year on year, you're seeing a bigger push, and you're seeing more and more people asking for it. I'm surprised at the number of people asking for it. But
interesting,
you know, we're all along for the ride. You know, so, well, it's not, you know, for me to say what.
I mean, there's a money savings tip. If I feel like okay, so we've been talking a lot about engagement rings. Let's talk about wedding bands, because do people always go in buying engagement rings and buying the wedding bands at the same time, would you say, or not?
Typically not. Yeah, I would say typically not. You know, I think what's new, and also I would say over the last, again, 5 years, maybe go back a little bit more, are couples coming in together to design the engagement ring, right? That idea of coming in together as a couple to design the engagement ring is new. I mean, if you would have asked any of our parents, they'd be like, not a chance. The woman had nothing to do with that process. It was a little bit more of here you go. but what I is fun, and actually it really helps us when the woman is there too, because it's for her.
Yes.
And being able to design a ring where I know what she wants is so much more helpful than a man coming in alone trying to get it right, but second guessing literally every move he's making. Is this the right stone? Is this the right shape? Is this the right clarity? Is it going to be big enough? Is this the style she wants? But when it comes to the wedding bands, they come in together, and there's just this kind of built up of excitement of the wedding is almost here. And those nerves of, you know, designing that ring aren't really there as much. So again, they come in together. It's collaborative. I get a sense in their budget, and really kind of cater the ring to exactly what they want. It's a much easier meeting, and you can just feel and sense the excitement that they have, right? They usually come in about 3-4 months before the wedding, and it's just like one of the more fun things you do pre-wedding. A lot of, as you would know, a lot of wedding planning is not necessarily so much fun, but this happens to be one of the more fun things that a couple can do together before the wedding.
Wedding planning is fun, Michael.
Yeah, it's super fun. Yeah,
it can be really fun. You're like, yeah, sure, whatever. You're married. I just noticed you're.
I am.
Married. Is
it
just a gold band?
A plain gold band. Plain gold band. I would say most men go for, you know, the classics, either a 4 or 5 millimeter width band, either gold or rose or platinum, or of course the three popular colors. A lot more alternative metals are out there these days, some tungstens and some titaniums. But again, most of the classics are what goes.
Oh,
and when
yes.
it comes to women and wedding bands, as you have, like the eternity band is probably the number one. It's just a matter of what kind of eternity band. Do you want a super slim pave band? Do you want a larger, bigger 20, 30, 50 point, you know, emerald eternity band? It really is specific to each client.
Are you seeing, so I always think it's interesting about the different metals, because you always think gold, silver, platinum, but yeah, there's this tungsten. What is tungsten exactly?
It's
do
an
you
alternative
sell that?
Metal.
Do you even, do
not
you even,
really. We personally don't. It's a much more talk about affordability or people that want to save a little bit. It's a definite, nice, affordable option. Just be a little careful when it comes to tungsten. It can never be sized. I've heard some horror stories about, you know, a man breaking his finger, and like, you can't and get it off your ring. So just, again, research, read, understand what you're getting yourself into, right? Gold or platinum could easily be cut off a finger. Tungsten is like really, really strong.
Okay. And then what about, you know, we were talking about like gender roles, like typically, historically, traditionally, the engagement ring is bought for a woman. But we have a lot of same-sex couples that listen. And it's interesting because usually the photo will be one person in proposing to the other. But then a lot of times, then there will be another surprise engagement for the other partner, or even like heterosexual couples. I've seen this trend too. First of all, I agree. I think the person who's going to be wearing the ring, arguably forever, should be involved. You know, yeah. I was involved. You should be involved.
You're going to. It's going to be on your finger all the time. You better like it.
Yeah. Have you seen?
Actually, it's so sad. The amount of when people come in for a rental appointment, it's typically after they're engaged, which is fine. And it's so sad. And so many people dislike their rings that they tell me behind like their fiance's back. It's, I don't know if this is like insider trading, but they hold it in, they get a ring. They're like, oh no, this is not it. This is not what I told them. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really, it's confusing. She's holding it in. She's stressed out. The guy doesn't know. She doesn't know whether to say anything or not. So
I haven't even thought about that.
Get as much info. Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of that.
That would suck. You can always be reset.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens more than you would think.
God, what an uncomfortable situation, because that would suck if you got it.
Again,
you're like,
most of the budget was spent on the diamond. So it can always be reset.
I know, but it's just kind of a crappy situation where you're
totally
like,
crappy.
I love that you want to get married, but I just really would like to change the ring. Oh no.
I feel for both sides. It's a crappy situation to be in.
If
anybody's listening, go in together. You have much less of a risk of messing it up.
Yeah, seriously. I wonder how often, I always think like, why shouldn't both people wear an engagement ring? Why does it only have to be one? And I've heard it here and there.
I had a client recently, the woman bought a bracelet for the man. She's like, I'm getting a ring. I want to buy something for him.
I thought that was.
She was super excited about it. And he was obviously surprised and wasn't expecting to get it. And he was super excited about it now. Like you said, they both got something to memorialize a really special day in their life. I don't remember if they gave it on the exact same day. I think they did. She was ready to go. He was ready to go. And they both, you know, had it ready in their backpacks or wherever it was. And just anything to help enhance the experience, right? A lot of these moments happen, hopefully, once.
I love that.
And so you really want to talk about maximizing value, maximizing the moment, how to make the most out of each moment.
Oh my God. I love that so much. I also love just, you know, when they come in and get, you know, like I had my 20th, we didn't do anything, but like 25, I kind of want to get, I don't know, a ring. I want something else, you know?
I'm going to say you deserve it. I'm going to say it's been 25 years. And hopefully your husband is or is not listening. I don't know what you want him to hear, but
he knows.
Yeah, it's time. He knows it's time. I'm sure you're planting some seeds.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we talked about engagement rings. We talked a little about wedding bands. Are there any other trends for wedding bands that we didn't cover? You're seeing mostly metals. Are you seeing a lot of diamonds on wedding bands?
Yeah, a lot of diamonds on wedding bands. Like I said, mostly eternity bands. But again, it's just finding the right eternity band that matches the engagement ring, right? Mm. Some engagement rings.
Yeah.
There's this talk about a trend. Most people really want the wedding band to sit right up against the engagement ring. It's called, you know, having it sit flush. People are averse to having this gap in between the engagement ring and the wedding band. It makes people nuts.
Yes.
Typically, as a designer, as a jeweler, we need to know how you want the wedding band to be before we make the engagement ring, because a lot of those baskets need to be made in a way where I know we can get a wedding band to sit right up against the engagement ring. Sometimes the basket juts out a little bit and it'll stop the wedding band from sitting flush. And at that point, there's nothing we can do. So most people really like it to have that perfect flush fit. But with that, certain rings look better with engagement rings than others. You're right. It happens all the time. It's similar to any kind of, I would think, wedding dress shop. And you go in, you have a vision, you assume this is what you're going to like. You put it on your finger or on your body and you're like, actually, no. Or especially today with Instagram, oh, I love my friend's eternity band. And then you put the same one on in our office and they're like, actually, it doesn't do it for me. So that's where, again, talking to them, understanding what's important, what looks nice together, You know, around diamond engagement ring, obviously rounds look really good with it, but certain of our settings are, we have a special Gavia setting, which is our take on a classic common prong, right? A lot of these classics that are done, there are ways to, that have been modernized to really make them a little bit more current, which is really, really nice and showcase the diamonds a little bit more. Our Gavia common prong really showcases the roundness of each diamond, and people seem to have really been liking that. And then you have pave bands where the diamonds are a little bit more embedded in the metal, and it's a little bit more of a squarish feel on the finger, which sits a little bit more up against the engagement ring. And then I love the idea of kind of contrasting different cuts of diamonds, right? You have brilliant cut stones. That's your round, oval, cushion, pear shape. Those are in the brilliant cut family. They have a lot of sparkle to those diamonds. And then you have the step cut family. Those are your emeralds and your Asher cut diamonds that have a little bit more of that glassy Hall of Mirrors type effect. And contrasting different types of cuts, right? The emerald is a little bit more tranquil versus the really brilliant round or any other shape in that family. You end up seeing the difference where, like, ooh, this is clearly the wedding band. It kind of, they play off of each other. It's kind of the same idea of the traditional round with two taper baguettes, right? The round in the middle is that brilliant diamond. And then you have these tapered baguettes, which was, you know, a classic Tiffany style from like the 1920s. I mean, this style has been around forever. And those tapered baguettes are in the step cut family. Again, it's contrasting different brilliance on your finger that helps the eye just see different elements of the ring. That's really, really fun.
Man, I love this talk. It's getting a lot of options.
A lot of options. That's what it is. You know, try to help you guide to get you the best thing possible.
Before we leave the subject of the diamonds and move on to rental jewelry, because I'm super excited to talk about this, we have to address, because you always hear this. We talked about lab-grown diamonds, and you always hear about blood diamonds and people wanting to purchase, you know, diamonds that are, what is the word?
Conflict free.
Can you give me the quick explanation of this and what it means and how often are we finding these and how do we know?
Yeah. I mean, I think years ago, we didn't know. And unfortunately you couldn't know if it was a conflict free diamond or a non-conflict free diamond. And that was an issue for a lot of people. People, I'm sure, remember the movie Blood Diamond, which brought a lot of attention to that, situation. But America and the U.S. has really done a good job of cracking down on conflict-free diamonds in order to import, right? We don't actually mine diamonds in America. Everything's imported, right? We don't have mines in the States. So everything has to come into America in order for the diamonds to even come in at this point. They're really saying about 99.9% of diamonds coming in are conflict-free. There are UN resolutions. There's a Kimberley process. There are different processes that make sure that anything imported into the States are conflict-free. So at least the consumer is well aware that what they're buying is natural and has not been used to fund war or any conflict in any country. Okay. And it's a question we get a lot. I think, you know, it's important to talk about, but I think it's important for the consumer to know and feel secure that what they're buying is has been used only for good things.
Okay. Okay, good. So you can ask. I mean, it's just like, you could just, is that common to ask? Like, is this a conflict-free diamond?
People ask, any invoices that we have from suppliers, any invoices that we sell to consumers, you know, there's certain language on each invoice that says, to my knowledge, no, none of the diamonds I'm providing have been used in any conflict. So there is some language that we are well aware of that all of our suppliers must comply with. And so as long as we know our suppliers, we know they're compliant, we feel secure that anything that we're selling is compliant as well.
Great. All right. Well, let's talk about your rental service and how this works with Restillo, because this is going to be a huge, I think it's awesome that you could rent for your wedding and not have to just rely on some costume jewelry. So talk to us about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's really how the idea came about. I mean, I mentioned earlier, the wedding itself is expensive. Everything's expensive. When it comes to jewelry, there's not necessarily another $20,000 or $30,000 to spend on earrings, which I totally understand. I'm a contemporary of most people getting married today too. But at the end of the day, the bride wants the earring to look a certain way, right? Earrings are our number one right now. And so, yeah, jewelry is expensive. And so, but I didn't want that to be a hindrance from a bride to be able to wear beautiful diamond jewelry on her wedding day. You mentioned earlier the idea that celebrities wear jewelry that's not theirs at the red carpet events. Right, that's been around for a long time. So I wanted to be able to provide a service to brides where they could come in, try on real diamond jewelry, be able to rent it for a weekend, try to make the process as easy as possible. It gets complicated with insurance and you know, different elements that we don't have to go in right now, but it's not the easiest process to do. But we were able to secure insurance so the bride feels safe. You know, obviously you have to always worry about worst case scenario, and we feel safe. And it's been a wonderful way for people to get to know us and for brides to be able to wear real diamond jewelry. It makes a huge difference in pictures. And there's just something about putting on jewelry that, and real diamond jewelry that's different than costume, right? Like there's just a happiness and a different sense of excitement that I think goes on. I mean, the emails that we get from clients after their wedding where they tell us, like, the jewelry made my look. I mean, it happens all the time. And it's just, you know, we can't get enough of those emails. It's really the best.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And so it's, this is all women's jewelry, right? We're talking women,
nothing. Jewelry. Yeah. Okay. What we offer now are, if you're in New York City, you can come into our showroom and actually try on the pieces. But what was interesting with COVID, as we're Zooming right now, COVID allowed Zoom to become so mainstream that we do virtual styling sessions all over the country. Mm-hmm. Brides reach out, they say, hey, I'm getting married in a couple months. And we have, you know, our stylists and our consultants try on different pieces that might work for your dress. Again, same thing like the wedding bands and engagement rings. Everything with the jewelry for the wedding is very specific to your look and your dress and what you want it to be. And we can, you know, different designs are more popular than others, but that classic, we talk about clusters, but that classic floral diamond stud is really, really popular. A nice, beautiful hanging earring is really popular right now. But a lot of times it depends on the dress, right? And that's where our stylists help guide you into, you know what, this earring is gorgeous. And we see that a lot. It's like, I love this earring, but it actually doesn't work for my dress. And so again, that hands-on one-on-one experience, that boutique style experience, is super important to us. And I think what makes it a lot of fun for the brides and makes it a lot of fun for us, we get to know so many different people. We're involved in a really fun and happy time in their lives. And literally every wedding photo they look at, like, oh, rented those earrings from Verstolo. Like, we're always there. So I think it's really, really fun.
Holy crap, Michael. I'm looking at the the bracelets are like... Yeah, whoa.
Yeah, there's some pretty heavy duty pieces. I think people sometimes think we're out of our minds for renting for $500 a piece that's worth $40,000-$50,000.
These are $500 to rent? They're all different prices.
That's our sweet spot. Everything's okay, between four and six.
Wait a minute. There is a bracelet called Illy that the carat weight is 24.15 carats. It's 18 karat gold. The retail value is $41,000. Holy shit. And the rental price is $600. $600.
And that rental
this
price
thing is like insane. No,
we're sometimes a little crazy. And that rental price is for the full weekend. It's not per day. So our typical rental period is you get it on the Thursday before your wedding. We can ship it to you if you're outside of New York. You can obviously come pick it up if you're in New York, and you ship it back to us on Monday. We're really involved in the day-to-day of kind of our clients and work out, you know, the details in that sense. But we try to make it as easy as possible. And sometimes we shake our heads with the value that is out there that I guess could potentially be lost. But we really haven't had any issues. Our brides have been wonderful. You know, obviously, we tell everybody, treat the jewelry as if it were your own that weekend. It's, you know, the weddings get a little bit nutty, but, you know, most, if not all, our brides take really, really good care of our jewelry. And it's really...
I would wear this from the moment it arrived at my door. Okay. I would not take it off to go to bed. Okay. I would wear it for all of the hours I had it. The Stella with the sapphires. Are you freaking kidding me right now?
Yep.
Diamond and sapphire. Holy shit. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
A lot of things with the color. What's been fun with the brides is it's allowed us to now meet the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom and the sisters, right? It doesn't only have to be a bridal specific thing. We're just for the bride. So we have the meetings we have in our office are really a ton of fun. We get all the members of the family. It's a big diamond party. Everyone's trying on everything. What's always interesting is when the mom and the daughter like the same earring. We only have one of each style. So people have
I was going to ask you that. So there's only one. Yeah. So it could be rented for your weekend.
Things are reserved sometimes a year in advance, just like a venue. If somebody loves an earring, call us, put a deposit on it because it's going to be gone. A lot of our popular styles get booked up. We're constantly trying to add to the collection to keep up with demand right now.
Yeah.
Which is fun, but you know, designing is a lot of fun too. We're always excited to launch a new, you know, a couple of new pairs of earrings or bracelet that we, you know, are for new brides and trying to stay current with the trends and the times and all that. So we're always trying to have our finger on the pulse when it comes to design.
Who are you naming these after? Who comes up with the names?
That's a good question. Our team, you know, sometimes we get a new piece in and we look at it and we're like, okay, like what name's speaking to us right now? We literally last week, we had a Kelly earring, or it was the other way around. We had a Grace earring that was like this, you know, nice floral cluster stud. You can look at it if you're on our website.
Yeah, I'm on the website.
2 weeks later, we launched another cluster earring that had this old Hollywood vibe to it. And so we named it Kelly. So then we had Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly.
Right? So just like different reasons to name a certain piece after a certain name. But
well, let me know if you need a new name. I'll choose Michelle. Just let me know what new ones come in and you don't have a Michelle. You don't have a Michelle.
We do. Oh,
no, you hilarious. Don't. Where?
Well, that's literally words out of my mouth. The Michelle earrings are with the photographer right now and will be launched, I would say, by the end of the week. And this
you
is not, this is not a launch
me.
Of the show.
You named him after
me. Okay, fine. All right.
You're Michelle like, actually, earrings. I named after my wife,
super
but okay.
About this podcast. No, she's not Michelle. Good for you, Michelle. Done.
Okay.
Done.
Oh, my Everyone God. I can't here. Wait. I can't wait to see him. Thank you, Michael.
They're a very pretty pair of earrings.
Just in time for the podcast release. I love that.
There you go. Plant those seeds. Your husband, everything in our rental collection is also for sale. That's an element also.
Oh my God.
That too.
Oh, really? So then the people rent them and they're like, I have to have it.
We've had a bunch of husbands call us behind the bride's back and be like, I know she's renting. I actually want to surprise her and buy it for her. We've definitely had that. And that's been a lot of fun. Again, kind of being behind the scenes and knowing different things. Like knowing somebody's about to get engaged the weekend before, right? We kind of are in the know. It's a fun position to be in.
Oh my God. The Amelia's earrings are really cool with the green, the emeralds. Damn.
Again, for those to be for a bride, you need to be bold to wear green earrings. I mean, we've had brides wear them.
Yes.
But we have a little bit of everything for everyone, right? Obviously green is not going to be the most popular for most brides, but
I think it would look amazing. And then also go with like green emerald colored shoes.
Hello. There you go.
I love pops of color.
Blue, right? Our Simone earrings, right? The something blue is interesting.
2019, you know, before all this craziness went down, my clients, like two of my brides had wedding gowns that were colored, like not all white, not all ivory, like they had pops of pink, they had canary yellow. We always talk about how exciting it is when people wear color on their wedding day. So bringing it in with jewelry is huge.
It's huge. And a lot of people are doing different outfits, which I'm sure you see, right?
The
rehearsal dinner, obviously, but then you have the wedding and then you have the after party and then you have the in between the after party to the after party. Listen, I can't keep track of how many different dresses some of these clients have. And sometimes they want a different set of jewelry for every single dress, obviously, naturally. Why wouldn't you?
You get on Zoom with somebody, when your people get on Zoom with somebody, do they ask like, well, what does your dress look like? Like, do they look at photos of the dress?
Our first question, it's come prepared. Give us a sense on, you know, go on our website, go to Vrustolo.com, check the rental collection. Get a sense on just which styles speak to you. Some, again, may not be available for your weekend, but it gives us a sense on your aesthetic. And then once we see your dress, we can, again, just recommend styles that we know work, that we know we've seen before, that just complement the dress, right? The jewelry should always be a compliment. It shouldn't be too big where now we're only focusing on the jewelry and you're not focusing on the dress. The dress is still the star. The jewelry is the compliment that ties everything together. And that's been, whether it's virtual or in person, seeing the dress is the number one. It gives us a sense on your tastes and on your style. And then it's easier to recommend options that'll work for you.
You know, this is also helpful because I'm not accessorized right now. I'm not good at accessorizing. And I always think to myself, like, if I'm going somewhere, I'm like, well, should I wear a big earring with this? Should I wear a necklace? Like, I could see how this would be super helpful that once you find that dress you love, that you get into a consultation with somebody at Vrustolo and they say, works well with that type of dress is this earring or minimal earring and necklace or bracelet, you know, like.
We handhold, we really do. We really kind of just like walk you through the process and explain, you know, what a certain type of earring, like what look it'll kind of give off, and understand what you want it to be. Do you want a big bold earring or do you want something a little bit more understated? And sometimes they don't know. And it's, okay, well, let me try this on. Let me see how it looks. You know, you still want to look like yourself on your wedding day. I think that's like something really, really important for I think brides to know, right? I mean, you want to feel yourself, but probably elevated. Yeah. And so if you don't wear heavy, big earrings, the wedding day is probably not the day to try that, right? You want to feel comfortable. Certain women hate any kind of drop earring. They'll only wear a stud, right? And right. So, okay, so we'll go with stud, but it'll be this, you know, beautiful floral cluster that right. is an elevated stud that'll really tie everything together. Yeah. And is just elegant and you know, you can look at the Alana earring if you're on our website, or the Juliet. The cluster studs, we can't make them quick enough right now. There are number one right now. I mean, well, it's, you know, also rent a ton of drops, but the clusters are really popular.
Well, I think this is great. And I also think this is a good idea because, you know, a lot of parents or, you know, siblings or good friends, or, you know, whoever it is, aunts, uncles, want to give something, a gift to the couple or to the bride, whomever is wearing the earrings. Cause I'm not going to pretend that it's only women that are wearing these earrings or like, you know, non-binary, right. like people wear earrings, bling. And I think it's sure. lovely that it, you know, this would be a good idea. Like, okay, mom, I really want jewelry, but I'm not like, I know we can't spend, you know, $30,000, but there's this rental service. It would mean the world to me. Like, could this be my gift from you? Would you pay for me to rent without jewelry?
Yeah. I think it's a great shower gift. There are yeah. a lot of different elements.
Or a gift card gift. Too. Well, do you guys do gift cards? There too.
We do gift cards. They're on our website. You can gift a certain dollar amount where somebody can rent and use the gift card, which is a lot of fun. Yeah, I think it's the price point, at least for us, has been nice. There people really get to understand that for the $500, they really get great value and get a beautiful earring. It's not, again, it's about a similar price point to what a lot of expensive costume jewelry is. It's not like yeah. there are a ton of, right? I'm sure you know, costume jewelry can get pricey.
Totally. Yeah.
And so here for the same price point, now you have real diamonds. It's this, you know, I think typically if people are undecided between the two, I like to think they lean our way. It just changes the look.
Okay. So you do, this is anybody from any part of the country can rent from you. Is that correct?
Anybody from any part of the country can rent. Go to our website. Most of our styles, you can reach out directly if you're interested in a specific style. And we'll, just like we're now, we can help set you up with Zoom and do a styling session over Zoom, really get you to understand, you know, size and scale of certain earrings, which is important to understand if they're heavy or if they're light or if they're going to look good on you. Or like I said, anybody in the tri-state area is more than welcome to come in. We've had a bunch of people fly in, right? I'm sure you know, people fly into New York to go wedding dress shopping. So we've had people yeah. booked into August with some clients where they know they're going to be in New York and they're like, I'm coming in to try on earrings.
Yeah.
And that's just, again, one of the, similar to the wedding band consultations we spoke about earlier, this is one of the fun aspects of the wedding planning. I know wedding planning is exciting, but this really is.
Well, it's different really than this. Is,
a fun, we have champagne. We really, it's light. You know, and I think traditionally when you go into high-end jewelry stores, there's this element of, can I touch that? I don't want to sneeze on it. I don't want to breathe on it. Like, am I allowed to touch anything? And we kind of have the opposite feeling here, where it's like our table is kind of, and by the end of the meeting, is full of diamonds, or this person's picking up this one and trying it on this one. And that element has really kind of never been done before. And I like to think it's, again, I don't get to put on any of the jewelry myself, but it looks fun. It looks like yeah. it's a lot of fun.
All right. Very good. Well, if anybody's interested, it's verstolo.com, V-E-R-S-T-O-L-O. When you inquire, listener, you have to make sure that you let them know that you heard about them on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Very, very important. Are you listening?
Yes, please. And everyone, book the Michelle earrings. They're coming out. We want them fully booked for the year.
I can't wait.
Yeah. It's too funny. It's the only pair with a photographer right now. It's really like the timing is too funny. But of course, we name them after you. Sorry.
And this, I mean, some of these earrings, like these earrings, the violet, they're $275 for rental. So some things are under $500 for rental. Like these earrings are beautiful.
We try to have a price point for everybody. I think it starts at $250 or maybe $225. We have yeah. a couple of earrings. Some of the ones that aren't as carat heavy or, you know, aren't as valuable, yeah. we're able to afford and rent it out for a little bit of a lower price point. We try to accommodate to everybody. We work with destination weddings, which is a question we get a ton of. Can I bring the jewelry with me? And we are able to accommodate most clients. So again, reach out. That one's a little bit more on a case by case basis because travel is always a little bit complicated.
Sure.
But don't hesitate if you know you're going away. Still reach out. We can try to work something out with you.
Very good. Well, Michael, thanks so much for educating us on all things jewelry here. And
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
This rental service is really cool. Can't wait to try it out someday. I wanted to go somewhere super fancy.
Anytime, Michelle, just let me know.
Okay. All right.
You will have to wear the Michelle earrings at some point.
I can't wait to see them. I'm excited.
So your next event, just let me know and they're yours.
Okay. For rental. For borrowing. I'll borrow.
You have to give them back. But okay. So just okay. Like the brides, you'll get a sense of the experience.
Yeah, you got to try them out.
Exactly.
Very good. Michael, thank you again for joining us and educating all of us. Again, it's verstolo.com. That's the best way for them to see everything. And you all are on Instagram as well. Of course, there's a link on the website to your Instagram. All right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can get more wedding planning tips from the Big Wedding Planning Podcast YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join me and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. Have a wedding planning question or just want to get in touch? You can email me at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or my personal favorite, call and leave a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Love you. Love the show. Bye.